So, Phil, how did the idea of writing a book come about?
Well, can you hear me? Hold this in the right place. The very short answer is that the blame is down to Nick Hyde. Is Nick Hyde? He wasn't looking at the back. Yeah, all Nick's fault, to be honest. About 3 years ago, we just had a very nice meal at Spices, and we're just wandering back to the car, and he turned to me quite out of the blue, said, "So, Phil, when are you going to write your book?" And I said, "Oh, I'm not going to write a book. I have absolutely no intention of writing a book. I never thought of writing a book. It's not going to happen." And then I thought about it, and I thought, well, actually, maybe there is something I'd like to write about. And interesting, I don't think I've mentioned this to you, David, but I was looking back, and this meal was the day before you came and had your, what is the right word, your installation or your, whatever the right word is, in June 2009.
I was licensed.
Licensing, June 2009.
Yeah.
So that was right at the end of the interregnum. I'd done a few talks sort of during the interregnum and before, but obviously with a new minister arriving, you know, who knew whether I would have the opportunity to do that again? I don't mean that as any criticism, just, you know, things change. So I thought, well, actually, maybe it would be quite a good thing to actually explore a subject and look into it a bit more. And there had been a talk that I'd done in 2002, a long time ago, where the title was Life in the Kingdom, Matthew 18. And in that talk, I've been drawn to the first few verses where the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And they clearly think it's one of them. And Jesus kind of doesn't answer them. And then he calls forward a little child and says, you know, basically, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, then be like this. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, be like this. If you want to receive the kingdom of heaven, be like this. And I felt at the time that was a... As I was preparing the talk, it wasn't the greatest talk I'd ever done, but there was something about the subject that grabbed me, and I thought, there's something important here. And so, of course, because there was something important, I then ignored it for the next sort of 8 years or so. So when Nick, as I say, prompted me with this question, I thought, well, okay, I might not be doing talks. There's this subject I'd like to explore, so I'll put something together. And it wasn't because I wanted to write a book to be published. It just seemed a good way to explore the subject, really. So that's how it kind of started. Very quickly, the talk was not... The talk I'd done in 2002 wasn't quite the beginning, because at the beginning of the millennium, just into kind of 2000, some of us from the church had a... went on a retreat day... which I think is probably the only retreat I've ever been on. And I decided I wasn't going to try and... I went on this retreat day, but I wasn't going to try and pray and read the Bible. I'm hopeless at hearing God when I try and hear him. He only talks when I'm not listening. So I wandered around, and I just decided I was just going to try and be. And I kind of stood in front of this, you know, trees and stuff, and just tried to kind of rest in that place. And the words of a poem began to form in my mind, and by the end of the day I'd written this poem, which begins, "As a Child," which is the name of the book, and it was about being childlike. So that was, if you like, the very start of it, this poem, not the greatest poem, but this poem that I wrote right at the beginning of the millennium. So that's how it came about, and I've been working on it for about the last 3 years.
Yeah, because in fact, when I came, Phil, you said, I want to really focus on writing this book. It's probably going to take me about 6 months' time, but don't put me on the preaching route until I've written the book. So 2.5 years later, I'm now holding it in my hand. But
yes.
What's the essence of the book? What are you trying to get at in it?
The essence, to be honest, is in the title, I think. "As a Child, God's Call to Littleness." And... I suppose there's two aspects of that. The first is, if you like, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure that when we talk about being childlike, we really grasp it. You know, I don't know about you, but it's childlike. Oh, you think, okay, childlike means childlike faith, childlike trust. Okay, it means I kind of just have to trust God without kind of worrying about it too much. I know that's a bit of a simplification, but I think for a lot of us, that tends to be it. And then we go on with being adults trying to trust God, and it kind of doesn't amount to much more than that. But if you look at, you know, just the verses that I quoted at the beginning, if you look at it, it seems to be much more than that. you know, Jesus seems to be saying, you know, you want to be, if you want to be the people that I want you to be and kind of to receive the kingdom and to enter into all that I have for you, if you want to know what it is to kind of to pray and to praise and to all sorts of things, then be like this child. And so what I wanted to do in the book was try and explore and tease out what it might mean. So the structure of the book is takes words from individual words from the verses that relate to children. So believe, enter, receive, all those, and then just tries to tease out, okay, what might that mean? So that's if you like the main point of it. And then I suppose another thing which has sort of developed in the writing of it, and this is a very personal thing, this isn't going to be where everybody's coming from, but I personally have a feeling there can be a bit of a temptation for us as individual Christians and for the church as a whole to kind of want to be big and successful and to kind of compete with the world and kind of say to the world, look, anything you can do, kind of God can do better. And what that then translates to is anything you can do, we can do better. And you kind of so we want to be, if you like, great, not for our own sakes, of course, you know, that perish the thought, but so that God can be glorified. But if I read the Bible, my reading of it is so often actually that God's saying, no, you've got to be small, you've got to be the servant, you know, you've got to be the least, you've got to be the last, and then he's going to do all the other stuff. So that was an emphasis that came out for me a bit as I was writing it, sort of more and more, was, are we prepared actually to go the other way, to be prepared to be little, to be small, and actually leave everything else in God's hands?
Thanks, Phil. So for yourself, that's something that I suppose a revelation that's come to you, or an understanding as you've been writing it. But the process itself, what's that done to you? Is it changing you as you've been actually going through this process and kind of wrestling with this stuff?
I kind of wish I could say yes. As I said, I hoped that part of the reason for writing the book was there was this subject which I'd felt was important, but then I just ignored. So I thought, okay, well, in writing the book, I'm going to get to grips with what it means to be childlike. And I hope I have, in one extent, because certainly there were themes. I actually look back at the old talk, and although the message is essentially the same, there were things I said in the talk in one sentence that I've now kind of expanded into a chapter and really tried to grapple with what I meant just by that single sentence. But unfortunately, the flip side of it is that writing a book is not the most childlike exercise that you can undertake. And there's a classic comment I think probably many of you heard about trying to analyse comedy. We had this, you know, analysing comedy is like dissecting a frog. You know, all the part, you can see all the parts there, but it just kills it in the process. And I unfortunately sort of feel the same about the process of writing this book for me, is that I've tried, not analysed it exactly, but tried to tease out what it all means. But actually the process of doing it has been quite hard work. And I'm not the most childlike person anyway, and it's just one of the nice things about finishing it is I can think, great, now I can actually try and be childlike rather than just having my time trying to write about it. Yeah. So it's sort of, I hope it will have changed me, but in the process I've probably perhaps been less childlike than I might have been.
Yeah, but I think in the contrast as well, you see the other side, don't you? I used to think in English literature that you completely killed one of Shakespeare's plays by over-analysing it. And I think there's been a great tradition in the 20th century of biblical scholarship which has done exactly the same to the Bible and actually destroyed its simplicity by overthinking about it and making those trained for ordination to be readers spend too long doing it rather than actually being childlike, which is probably much more used to you when you get ordained anyway. So there we go. And I mean, I just love, your last chapter, Phil, is called Become. So it's become like one of these. And of course, this is the challenge. And as you explained to me yesterday, in a way, the book makes the case to be childlike. But then it's, well, OK, how do we do it? So that's probably volume two.
Never again.
But maybe that's the challenge for us as the community of believers, to learn what it means to be childlike, to actually try and live it out somehow, to model it. And I think that's a really important word to the church, Phil, actually, is that we want to see God do great things, but actually he does great things. Yeah. We need to be the least in order for that to happen. So what does that look like as we engage with our community? Yeah. You know, what does it look like as we pray for somebody on a Sunday for healing? What does it look like to be little so that God can be big? Because John the Baptist, to be referred to, said, I must become less so that he becomes greater. And but you've given a little bit of a clue, and of course you've talked quite correctly theologically about, well, we're born again, so we become like a baby. When we're born again, we become like a child again. But we actually need to kind of work with that and actually do things that are childlike. And I just love this. You said on page 117, and let us be prepared to make fools of ourselves, having fun. And then you've gone on to say how we can make fools of ourselves and have fun. I kind of think that is that's such a challenge to us when we're so bogged down with the worries of the world, to just do childlike. Because actually, you know, what you do in the physical can make things happen in the spiritual. And sorry, I'm going off on one now. But Adrian Plass wrote a book called View from the Bouncy Castle, didn't he? And it's when you see a child on a bouncy castle, you actually want to get on there, don't you? But it's a bit embarrassing. So what you do is you say, well, I'll go on and I'll help the child. But actually the child ends up helping you, and but you both are enriched by the experience. So, you know, it's about actually joining in somehow and being prepared to make a fool of yourself. Somehow the kingdom will come through that, I believe. So that's something that I've taken from the book, Phil. That's been an encouragement to me. So I guess the last question is, if you would like a copy, not that Phil is here to promote it, because I know Phil's heart with this, I think he's done it as an act of obedience. I think God did speak to you through those processes, and you've done it. So it's available. So if you like one, how do you get one?
Right. Okay. This is pretty embarrassing. It is available. The best thing to do is to get it from me, because that's the cheapest way of getting it. I've got a few copies here, because I know that some people have already told me they wanted copies. So if you're one of those people, I have a few copies. I'll put a list of them. And honestly, if nobody signs it, I'm not going to be offended, so don't worry. But they're just for your own convenience. I'll stick a list at the back, and if you just want to put your name down or whatever, it's I'm charging a fiver, which, to be completely upfront, is slightly more than cost, but a fiver is a nice, easy number to deal with. And it begins to pay back some of the costs that I put into it. I don't think I'm ever going to sell enough to cover the cost. So anyway, I hope a fiver is all right. If you want a copy, I'd love to give them all away, to be honest. But I can't afford to do that. So if you'd like that, I'd do that. Just to say that the book, I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. The book is, I've not had it published by a proper publisher. It's not been properly published, and that was intentional. I never intended to write this book anyway, and I thought, I'm not going to hassle. I don't want to take it around, you know, trying to get anybody to publish it. So it's just published on demand by a company called Lulu. So it's best to get it from me, because their prices are their postage is a rip-off. It should be available via Amazon and all that lot in a few weeks, which should be better. But in the meantime, if you want a copy, it's best to get it from me. Because that'll be cheapest. And but no compulsion. If you do get it, I hope you like it. And let others know what you think about it. Great. Thank you very much.